It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's Unrivaled, the Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium Grade A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and
the other guy.
It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right, all the NFL stories you can handle. And of course, we bring Scott in to basically... It's a little bit like just the last segment with the Ask Scott Anything, but this one is NFL related almost entirely. In fact, all entirely. So here's what we do. I'm gonna roll out some of these stories here, and then let's talk about it. First, right off, Scott comes to me and goes, "We got to talk about this." And it was this story that was written up on ESPN about why the Chiefs' Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce, that connection with not my Holmes, but your Holmes, Scott.
Right,
Patrick, your Holmes. Why that connection to Travis Kelce as tight end is the best it's ever been. Now, statistically, that's not true. We saw that Gronkowski,
well,
I think...
It's the best in its era, is what they're saying. It's the beginning of a really
beautiful
good
friendship, yeah. So tell me what... And you said, look, I love this article because it is so real. And it's not focused on enough. That when you actually have an amazing connection between... a quarterback to wide receiver,
chemistry is a real thing, Alex. It's a real thing.
Is this one of those love shows now?
No,
Come on.
This is all platonic.
Okay,
I promise. But it's a very powerful platonic relationship, and what you have is the play is designed a certain way, right? You run down this far and you break this way or whatever, and if the coverage is a certain way, you have some adjustments, and the quarterback's supposed to read it, the receiver's supposed to read it. And on paper, it sounds great, but in real life, so many variables happen and everything is so fast. Like, you have to trust and you have to anticipate one another. And you hear of these types of relationships, like a dancing partnership or ice skaters, or you think of like John Stockton and Karl Malone, where they just ran the pick and roll to perfection. It was like artistry. But when I went to the Miami Dolphins in the first practice we had, and I'm watching Dan Marino throw the ball to Mark Clayton and Mark Duper, I was like no one teaches you any of that. Like, how did they know to do that?
Was it just because there was a – because everyone says, oh, there's a speed part of the game and all that. But
it's an understanding, but it's there's this communication that goes on in the moment where I know you're going to laugh at me, but I'm telling you, we can get Herman Moore on the telephone right now, and I can call him, and we could look at each other at the line of scrimmage before the play was starting, and we knew we were going to make an adjustment. I mean, we'd have running plays, and I would throw a pass route to Herman Moore, and I wouldn't give him a hand signal. I wouldn't give him an audible. I just kind of give him that look. And we just knew.
Tell me what kind of look you got from Barry Sanders in the huddle after that that run play got blown up.
Well, Barry used to fall asleep on the sidelines. He was very uninterested. I mean, it wasn't. And it's an amazing thing. It really is because you feel like you have an edge on the people that you're competing against, and you have this level of confidence.
So this isn't just reps. You're not talking about just reps either. You're not just talking about pure talent either.
No, it's not. It's not just reps. It's not just okay running the play. And there's an understanding. There's a reading of the situation, and you just know. And I can't describe it any other way, but it's there and it's real and it really happens. And if you want to rank like the most amazing parts of my career, that was one of them. I mean, it ranks up as one of the top five moments, is having this kind of connection and relationship with with a teammate where when you're on the field, it is like artistry and it is magic and it's a real connection. And you see this with a lot of players. And I just saw this with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. And I said, yeah, I totally get that. And there were things that we invented, we came up with that just happened through that relationship. And you can't teach it. Like, you can't go in a meeting and say, okay, well, you need to do it this way in this situation. It's just, it's an intuition. It's an instinct. It's a communication that just happens. It's fascinating.
Was the Herman Moore connection, that was number one for you? Like, that was the one that was the most?
Oh, yeah, easily. And it's funny to talk about now and just the thing, you know, and just like just knowing where to throw the football and when. And he knew kind of how to run his route a certain way and based on how he was covered and just the whole situation. And the amazing part is that it happened at light speed. You know, you're going as fast as you possibly can. And it's like you're having this slow motion conversation then, and you're not saying any words. And it's just the weirdest darn thing in the world, but it's real and it happens.
Yeah. I just, I don't know. There's part of me too that goes there. These players, I mean, there have been amazing connections. You know, you think of like Peyton Manning to
Marvin Harrison,
or even Reggie Wayne. I mean, if you think about guys that he's had multiple connections with multiple people. Dan Marino, who would it have been with him then?
Mark Duper, Mark Clayton. But you look at guys like Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin. And there's just guys throughout the years that have had these. I mean, Jerry Rice and Joe Montana.
It wasn't just a talent thing. See, that, I mean, to me, you're listing off all these guys with amazing talent, but it was something extra. And it's not – is it just logging more hours together, or is it just like, hey
– well,
Moore might have been also one of the smartest guys on the field too. Well,
I had other really good receivers that – were very successful, but not the same kind of connection. I mean, Brett Perriman, in my era, was so much of an underrated player in the NFL, and he was very successful, but the connection certainly wasn't there. And you look at a guy like Chris Carter, or you look at a guy like Tim Brown in my era, just amazing receivers, but you could tell they never really had a quarterback that they had that kind of relationship. Now they had, and a lot of those guys had a lot of quarterbacks. So I don't know what it is, but I know that it is, and it's a real thing, and it's magical when it's happening, and it works. I mean, Herman Moore caught over 100 passes and was the perennial Pro Bowl player,
right?
And he wasn't before, and he wasn't after we stopped playing, and it's a very special thing that you can't really put your finger on.
The NFL is really concerned because they are worried about what the COVID-19 outbreak is going to do to the league and could threaten games. And, of course, threatening games means threatening television. And that's the only thing kind of keeping them afloat. And so the question is, now as the NFL gets underway and they're tightening down on their COVID-19 protocol for the rest of the year, they're telling teams, you're going to see more fines. You're going to operate under this new COVID intensive protocol for the rest of the year. How do you get 32 locker rooms to abide by something like this to make it work? Because you have all sorts of levels of guys caring and not caring what the NFL is telling them about COVID-19.
Well, what you have in the NFL is most of the teams are vying for playoff spots. So they want to do things the right way. They don't want the season to stop. What happens is you run out of bye weeks, you run out of time as the season ends to end in a regular, you know, time frame. Just as here's the season started when it was supposed to and went all the way through to its completion. The Super Bowl was when it was supposed to be, all the playoffs. And it just becomes a massive logistics nightmare when this team and that team are now they can't play their game. And so then it throws off the whole schedule and things can get really discombobulated and in a massive chaotic mess if you start having not a lot of teams but just a few teams, because how do you make it up? When do you make it up? Where do you make it up? And then you have to say, well, is it relevant? You know, if you have the Jets playing, I don't know, whoever else is terrible right now, you know, the Washington Redskins, although they're still in the NFC East, but you have these two terrible teams playing, they're not going to be in the playoffs, maybe it's a game you don't worry about, but you certainly I think the NFL wants to end its schedule,
right?
like it's supposed to.
So the threat
and
of
the
them-
people that care, Alex, the teams that are in it, they're going to do everything they possibly can. You're always going to have someone who isn't, but
right.
But for the most part, these guys will you know, they'll stay in line, and I don't think anyone wants to miss any
games. The threat of missing. It's one thing to get paid, but to miss out on the possibility of going to the playoffs or whatever it is, that'll bump some guys. That'll get them.
Money's a great motivator in the NFL, Alex.
Well, and the fines, that's where they can get them with the fines. Yeah,
some guys don't care, but most guys go, I don't want you taking money out of my pocket. No way.
Let's take the break here. We'll come back. We got our two-minute drill right around the corner. Stay with us. So much more to go. See what I'm saying about having Scott in the back pocket? He's a resource here, baby. We'll come back. We got more to go here. Wrapping things up, coming up in just a little while. Yeah, right around the corner. Stay with us right here on KSL's Unraveled.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.